Receiving incoming transmission.
The vermin call to you.
Greetings, listener.
Can someone the sound of my voice?
Don't get caught with your beard in the letterbox.
Why does this pantsless child have a sword?
No! You want a superheated Saturday Night Power Fist? I can hook that shit up!
Jack me off into a cup! Slap me around! We got options, baby!
Oh, now I have to go change my robes.
How do you polish rust?
Cake and grief counseling will be available at the conclusion of the test.
I am socializing, Artard.
File transfer begun, Commander.
It's a shame because you guys can't even hear the intro going on. I'm just sitting here just playing it by myself here.
I was waiting.
No, yeah, it's very anticlimactic. But welcome to episode 4 of the Postgame Lobby Podcast. Today is Tuesday, August 3rd, 2021. I am your host, JC. With me today, as always, we've got Matt. And we've actually got two big-time guests. Previous mainstays we had for the Postgame Lobby, we have Greg and we have Tim. How are you guys doing?
Welcome to the show, guys.
Good, man.
Welcome you to the show.
Welcome you. Stop it.
Yeah, you welcome yourself.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, because both Greg and Tim, they're kind of like the originals. Well, Tim wasn't an original. The second time in, you were an original. so I don't really know what was like. This podcast is a little complicated, but yeah, it's been a long time coming. I'm glad you guys are back on. So what you guys have been up to since the last time you guys have been on here?
Oh, God. So much. I think I've moved. I think I've played a lot of different games. I don't know. God, I could be here all day.
Yeah. Well, give me two of your big highs besides moving.
Oh, shit. Well.
Methamphetamine.
Yeah, I guess. I haven't really done a whole lot. COVID kind of knocked out pretty much anything cool I could have done. So pretty much just moved.
Okay. Okay. What about you, Tim?
I have a new child coming any day now. So that's been basically like my big thing. It's kind of like, you know, generic, I guess, but it's important to me. So yeah.
Big true.
Big true. Got a new baby. Already have a 5-year-old. So it's gonna be neat. Basically,
are you saying you're having a generic child, or you're saying the fact that you're having one is generic? Because I like both of those.
It's generic because it's a COVID baby. You know.
Okay. It's gonna pop off a great value tag on her.
Yeah, yeah.
For those tuning in who don't know, that means that they did sex.
What? Yes. Gamers don't know about that stuff. Let's not say that 3-letter word. That's a forbidden word here.
Right. It's going to be nice, though, because my daughter is going to start kindergarten. So, like, she'll be gone when the baby is born. So, like, it's going to be kind of cool. But, yeah, that's
time to
like,
focus, yeah.
Or, you know, just someone needy. That's not a child being out of the house.
Man, I feel bad. I missed out on your baby shower, didn't I? So I feel like I owe you something. I need to get you maybe a Xbox or a PlayStation so you can hit us up with games. You know?
I mean, you let me be on here tonight, so.
Well, there's more to come, right? So hopefully we'll get you more on some more episodes. Matt, what about you?
I mean, work. Last night, I got to go to a musical concert, which was a great time. I haven't been to one of those since before COVID, before I moved to KC, and I got to see Spirit Box, who was fantastic, and she's so gorgeous. And most importantly, I got to see Limp Bizkit, and old man Freddie D came out on stage with the look that blew everybody away at Lollapalooza. And I can see Tim losing his shit over here, but I'm gonna tell you right now, guys,
in a good way.
Yeah, Chocolate Starfish, keep on rolling, baby. It was really fucking good.
You would have to pay me to see fucking Limp Bizkit in 2021.
They were so good.
Are you serious? Like, so
they weren't good when they first came out and when they were popular. They're not good now.
I would see them just for the memes. Like,
Oh, they were
that hair, dude. You think it's a wig that he has?
I don't think so.
It's too his hair is too immaculate. It's just so good.
I've seen some of his videos because he.
Go ahead.
Well, I see him regularly on what I used to see him regularly on YouTube, and like he has like his own little vlogs and stuff. And, like he's a pretty down to earth dude. I'd go see him.
Well,
just counterintuitive to the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was. I mean, that was a wonderful time, just getting to go out and actually see live music again. So that was, and I've been playing, we'll talk about it later. I finished up the Outer Worlds and finally was like, I'm ready to start Skyward Sword HD, and I'm having a good time with it so far.
Oh, don't you be getting started on that. We have another game to get going here. We'll be announcing. Yeah, we're not going to announce it yet, but we'll be announcing it here in a little bit.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself at Limp Bizkit, even though... If they're like the Nickelback of nu metal, but I'm happy you had fun.
Right,
dude. He has Eminem in one of his videos. Get at me.
Yeah, now he's a real big deal. Got Eminem.
Well, that's because he and Eminem had beef back in. I mean, I guess Fred Durst, like Eminem, had beef with everybody at some point in time, which is why they became such a big thing back in the day. But
well, I didn't really have anything as exciting as Limp Bizkit, but I did invest a lot of money to get myself started for streaming, which I thought I was going to get started this week, but it's fine. I can procrastinate until next week, but I did get myself a new mic. Hopefully it does sound a lot better this time around than it did the last couple weeks. I'm using a Audio Technica AT2020. The only problem I'm really having with the mic right now is since it's a condenser mic, I'm getting some, it's picking up some audio from like some fans I have across the room and air conditioning that's going on, which is a little annoying, but not that big of a deal. Apparently it does sound a bit more clear. I did get a Stream Deck, which is really nice. So hopefully that'll make things a bit easier for editing and streaming and whatnot. I love this thing is amazing. I should really be a salesman for Corsair because this thing is like the great, it's one of the most greatest things of, for gaming or streaming, I don't know. I can't really talk. It's good.
Can you put a laugh track on it? Like,
Oh my god!
I could if I wanted to. There's a lot of things cool I could put on there. I can put porn sounds. No,
all you need is
or just like a sheesh.
Sheesh. There you go. I could do whatever I wanted to on it. I can put a whole soundboard. You can set up scenes from your OBS. I have it set up for recording the intro, outro, soundboard. It mutes and unmutes my microphone. It also even sets it up for, because I also got the a new, it's escaping me right now, but I got a new capture card for me to stream my PS5 and Switch, because the one I had before didn't really work too well. It is also a Elgato, so it works pretty well hand in hand with these. But yeah,
4K 60, is it the one you got?
No, this is just a 1080p. I wasn't really planning on playing in 4K. I don't really care about that. 1080p is plenty fine for me, for console games at least. Once I play on PC, since I have a 3080, yeah, I'll play on 4K and 100 million FPS if I wanted to. But anyway, let's get into the news. We've gotten plenty out of hand with what we've been getting going on. There's a lot of news that's been going on since last week, so I'm going to try and run through them really quick. But before I do, I'll let you get in your thing, Matt. I didn't want to...
So I don't know if I mean, Greg's heard me talk about it a million times, and Tim's probably tired of it. I like to play a lot of the greatest game that Bungie's ever made. It's called Destiny. In order to try to just keep it contained and not annoy the absolute piss out of everyone listening every week, I only get to talk about it for 1 minute in a segment that we like to call Matt's Minute. We had just a banger of a news week this week, so I guess we'll get that going here. In the This Week at Bungie, They detailed what crossplay will be looking like. It's going to be launching at the beginning of season 15, which starts in about 20 days. For PvP, the Xbox, PlayStation, and Stadia platforms will all be match-made together. PC will match with PC. And in the event that a PC mixed into a lobby with other console players, they will always be matched up against PC players. So that's pretty cool. It's going to try to eliminate that issue that we have with keyboard and mouse superiority. For anything goes for PvE, the first time players log in, they will be made, they'll be given a Bungie username, and that's how they'll discern it. You can cross friends list. There will be no chat at launch. Finally, Solstice of Heroes is done, and it is the final Iron Banner of this season. So get out there and get your pinnacles. Thank you.
Damn, that's
literally a minute.
I
am seriously going to have Tim on here every episode just to fucking do that. That was crazy how good you did.
I have a timer.
I know. That was impressive that you got that down that by the minute.
So the audience who's not viewing this as a visual audience, but a, you know, audio platform, I held a timer, and he got it in, I think it was 58 seconds?
Yeah.
Yep.
I had to cut a little bit short, but we need to, for your fancy soundboard there, we need to get, like, that sound clip that they play on The Price is Right when they get ready to go to commercial. They, bam, bam, bam.
Or some buzzer, so if you go over.
I do want to apologize to headphone users. We got a little carried away there. I do apologize.
That was fun.
All right, so outside of the Destiny news, we've got a lot to talk about. So Mortal Shell, it is a Souls-like clone. If you've played it last year, or was it the beginning of this year? I don't remember. Anyway, they are coming out with an expansion. It's going to be a roguelike. If you've played it, it's going to be a little bit more of the same thing. It's just going to be a roguelike. They're going to add like a legendary weapon to it. Back 4 Blood, which is the same creators that did Left 4 Dead. They are coming out with an open beta for the new game Back 4 Blood, which is going to be August 12th. So be looking forward to that here coming up soon. Pokemon Unite came out, which is seemingly to be really popular. I'm actually surprised at how much more popular that game has been since, League of Legends? Was that like the last MOBA that's been like really big, a really big hit? I'm actually surprised. Like Pokemon, of all franchises, came out with a MOBA that was good.
Well, I mean, people like MOBAs and people like...
Question mark.
Do they like MOBAs? Or MOBAs? Well, good? I mean,
a lot of people do. Like, there's so many League of Legends bros, a lot of Dota bros. Like, and then you put just like, you take a Pokemon fan base, and then you take a fucking MOBA fan base, and you put them together. It's like a perfect creation.
See, it's weird, like, because you wouldn't think of Pokemon, like, with their previous developers, like, Game Freak, you wouldn't think Pokemon, of all developers, coming out with a MOBA that was good. Because they always do the same formula for the game, which I have no problem with. I like that they add, like, different mechanics, like the Z moves and Dynamaxes and stuff, which but as far as like a MOBA goes, apparently they've been pretty successful, and they've, you know, they're coming out with regular updates with nerfing and buffing different Pokemon. But yeah, I'm surprised and I'm glad to see it, you know.
You would hope in a world where there's 936 of these fucking stupid creatures that they would be able to pick at least, say, 30 of them that could be balanced in a fight with each other.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like it's a great game. I'm just saying, like, I get the appeal. Like, you have...
I can.
The two different communities, and they made it into, like, a... It's more like a more simplified MOBA. Like, it's not, like, you know...
Yes.
Like, the high end of difficulty... Sure. Like, I don't like MOBAs, but I'd probably play it if I had a functioning Switch.
Yeah, I'm actually considering it. Right. I don't like playing League.
If it was on PC, I'd probably try it out, but I don't know if I would get back on my Switch to play it. Cause,
what about the Switch OLED version? Would you try it on that with an Ethernet-connected dock?
Fuck no. No one's going to fucking buy that shit. Get out of here.
Legit the dumbest move.
That oh is no. Why would you buy that when they just announced the Steam Deck or
Yeah, I get a Steam Deck first.
Yeah, the Steam Deck.
This is my one time per episode too that I have to mention. You guys should have bought a fucking Vita. You should have bought a Vita, and it died, and nobody cared. And now Nintendo is gonna be like, we're making OLED, and we're special and cool. We did it first.
Been a Microsoft show my entire life, and I will always be a Microsoft show.
What's it like to lose constantly? I love you guys. I have an Xbox. We'll talk about that later.
That's true. Jesus Christ. Well, on the other side of the coin, Sony, they acquired Nixxis Studio. They're going to be porting in games over to the PC. That's basically what they're known for, which I have no problems with this whatsoever, being a PC player. So I'd love to see myself some Uncharted, God of War, you know, any of those games played on PC. I love it. So hopefully we'll see some of that. What?
Are they going to be porting games going forward, or is this literally like they're going to be going through the back catalog? Because I don't imagine that we're going to be getting an Uncharted anytime soon.
Okay, I don't know why Uncharted was the first thing that came to mind, because the first thing that should have come to mind is Bloodborne. And I don't know if that means if they're going to do a remake, and if Nixxis is going to be responsible for that, or if Bluepoint is going to be responsible for it. But I feel like that's going to be the driving force for PC ports with Sony games anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And, you know, it's a big question mark, a big red question mark.
Glad Sony's joining the 21st century and making games that can port to PC.
Right. And,
why
you know,
you need to, though, when you pass 10 million units sold in like 8 months, why would you need the PC kids?
Come on.
Let's get more further customization and better graphics. I don't know.
10 million.
Let's be honest here.
6.5 for the Series X, maybe?
There's only maybe 1% of those that actually have consoles. And that's you and me there, Matt.
I agree. I know the whole the scalpers market is a point of frustration for a lot of people, even and the Xbox kids too. It sucks. And the PC kids. I mean, you had to sit in line at Best Buy for 12 hours to just get your goddamn card. But
I will never do that again.
I made fun of JC relentlessly. I was like, why the fuck are you standing in a line to maybe get something?
Bro, I got that shit.
I know
he was like second in line.
Yeah, he was second in line, like at 6 p.m.
I was literally
in a different city, an hour away from where we live.
I was literally about to fucking Ozzy Osbourne that shit. I would have bit a bat's head off for a fucking graphics card. Seriously, I was ready for it. I was so ready for it.
I'm glad you got it.
I am too. It is great. It is great. But anyway, we got two more things. I'll make them really quick. Horizon Forbidden West, reportedly they delayed that for 2022, so bad news bears there. And then lastly, the other really big bad news is more Blizzard news, and we'll cover really quick. J. Allen Brack, the president, he stepped down as he actually left the company, and there is a lawsuit from the
California Fair Employment Board
shareholders. Yeah, the shareholders for false and misleading statements. They're going to be suing Activision Blizzard over that. Anyway, let's get into the big news, right?
Really quick, we talked about Horizon Forbidden West. That has yet to actually be officially confirmed by Sony. It came out, and I don't know if it was... It was a major article that like GameSpot or somebody like that. It sounds like from what everybody's saying, they've all heard from the same sources that it is. The assumption would be that it's going to get announced at the State of Play, which is supposed to be coming up in a couple weeks. But Sony has yet to officially comment on whether Horizon is delayed or not. But it sounds like it is.
Yeah, I do feel a little bad that we ran through that news pretty quick. But we wanted to do a deep dive on the two topics at hand. So the first one, there was a tech demo for Halo Infinite that just opened up over the weekends. I think most of us were able to get into it, fortunately. I wasn't able to play it, so I'm going to basically put myself on mute, but you guys go ahead and take it away.
You guys go first, since I always get to go first.
Okay. So Greg, go first.
Yeah, it was... well, after the first day, which was kind of terrible because it was the delays, the ambiguous, you know, release times, everything. That was kind of awful. But I finally ended up getting into it on my Xbox because my PC couldn't run it because apparently it's not compatible with the GTX 900 series. But I got in, played some bots, and the gameplay felt really good, I thought. You know, I was really surprised at how good the, like, how helpful the armory and the shooting ranges was.
Yes.
I was kind of like, eh, whatever, you know, it's a little training exercise, but it really, really helps, actually. So, especially since you considering it doesn't have a lot of aim assist for the controller, which I found out on Xbox. I wanted to try it with PC or with keyboard and mouse, but could get on my PC. But yeah, the armory and shooting range, pretty good, surprisingly good. Bots were kind of, I mean, I wasn't expecting a lot, but the bots weren't very good. They had moments
on day one. On day one,
I guess I should give it a caveat. They went every day. They increased the difficulty of the bots, so they went from basically just like, you know, running targets to what they called Spartans, which are, you know, they're okay. They're pretty good. But
I do want
to
add one thing. I watched Moist Critical playing it, and he was literally like, dude, these bots are literally going left side every fucking time. So he would go over there and just chuck grenades and right.
They would like pile up on top of each other too sometimes, you know, so it's like, it just, they would do
pretty
dumb
funny.
Sometimes. Other times though, like they would just pull off just the most insane, like, they would just sit there and like do a 180 in the air, throw a grenade perfectly off the ground to bounce it off two walls and land in your lap. Like, it's just like, what? Like, impossible stuff. But I don't know. Overall, I was pretty impressed. I got to play the last two hours of the beta. They did a 4v4 Social Slayer sample, and that was great. I loved it. I would have played nonstop all weekend if it was 4v4 Social Slayer the whole time.
But I'll let you get more in detail about the tech demo, but I want to ask one thing. If you were to compare this to the Master Chief Collection between like the Halo 2 Collector's Edition and Halo 3, where do you think this would sit as far as like where this tech demo was? And I want to preface that from what I've heard that this tech demo was actually a couple of iterations prior to what current development is right now.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Whenever there's a demo or a beta or something and they call it like a vertical slice, like this was probably 6 months ago. You know, they have to basically like peel it off, and then a small group is QAing that while the rest of the team goes on. So,
right. So I do want to ask you guys that since you have played it, where do you feel as far as like the look and feel of the game multiplayer wise? How did it feel for you?
I feel like it needs a lot of polishing. But as far as potential goes, I feel like it could be really, really good. Like, obviously it's a tech preview, so there was a lot of, you know, little minor, you know, glitches and minor inconveniences, but overall I think based on just the style of play, the mechanics, the, you know, the customization, which I feel like they did a really good job of this time, because a lot of other games were lacking in just like, they did like give you armor pieces, but like really other than that, like being able to like customize like your AI, like, you know, how you interact your HUD with the game, it's going to be so nice. But I mean, it's hard to compare like the unfinished product to like something like Halo 2 Anniversary, because Halo 2 Anniversary is like so polished compared to this. So, you know, I think it has the potential to be better, but, you know, I think it's too early to tell.
Yeah, and I would agree with that too. Let's see here. What I would say, for me, it felt like it was Halo 5 without the jetpack, like without the boost dodge and stuff like that. Like So did you play on a like a regular Xbox One? Did you have a One X?
Yeah, the very first gen
like
one.
Like the VCR looking one.
Right? Yeah, the big boy.
So that, because that probably wouldn't 30 frames, right?
I'm guessing. I never looked, but I'm sure.
So I played on Series X, and like, it felt great. It reminded me of Halo 5, because Halo 5 ran at 60. Like, it felt really great and smooth. Obviously, you weren't boost dodging left and right, but it still had the clambering on ledges and stuff like that. I mean, I felt like it was very crisp in the shooting. So I would say, yeah, I mean, considering, like we said, this is probably code from 6 months or longer ago. I mean, if you remember a year ago, we were destroying them on the internet for that preview that they gave us of it. So I think it's in good shape because they're saying November at some point. I don't think he's put a number date on it yet, but I enjoyed what I played. I wanted to play more. I did not, unlike Greg, I didn't get to play against people. I just played against bots. Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
So, I mean, do you expect, like, for when it actually does drop, like, with the history of how, like, 343, like, does their, like, servers, like, even when it does drop, like, do you expect it to run, like, to be able to, like, jump into matchmaking? Because it seems like that's been a problem that they've had.
Halo 5 was pretty good.
Yeah. Release. I remember that one being really smooth.
But Master Chief Collection was just
terrible.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was like their first big release too, so just like
so four.
I guess Halo 4. Yeah,
I remember 4. We were able to that night. Like that was back when people actually went to GameStop and stood in line. And I remember I got like the Halo 4 360, like the clear blue one. And so we got home at midnight. We beat the campaign in 4-player legendary. So it probably was like 6 or 7. I remember the sun starting to come up, and we were like, okay, let's play multiplayer. We literally played like 2 matches, and then the servers were just like, nah. So there, I would say outside of Halo 5, I mean, even this one, like Greg was talking about, on Friday or Thursday when it was supposed to start, Sketch got on Twitter at like 7 o'clock and was like, oh, by the way, we have to reboot all of the servers. And right. It's like they couldn't even get the fucking technical preview off the ground. So outside of 5, they don't have a great track record of launch capacity.
For sure. And like just the decisions they made to send it through their website. It's just like, man, just email those instructions and in the URL to get to the point where you need to download the whatever you're downloading on your Xbox or you're downloading on your PC. Like, don't make everybody, like 900,000 people, go through your website. You know what I mean? Like, it just seemed like such a common sense thing. But like that website was locked up for at least 8 hours. Like, most people just could not get in even to log in to get that message they needed to download it.
So let's do like a bit of a breakdown here for those that haven't been able to play the game. Or for the tech demo, so they did bots, and then for the last 2 hours they did PvP, right? Did they do any more than just the initial map that they had on there, or did they have more?
Yes. So on day one, real quick before we do that, Tim got interrupted. I'm sorry. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh no! I was just like trying to follow up Greg and tell him that, you know, if like you just like direct everyone to your website, like the website's gonna fail. Like you're not gonna have.
Oh yeah.
Resources like
yeah, like everybody was super excited to do this, and then I found out on Friday, like later on in the day, that literally the way to get it was I had to download that Xbox Insider app on my fucking Xbox, right? And like, and then from in there, all of my stuff was. I was like, why didn't I know that from the beginning? Like,
right.
Just figuring out that all day. I was like, Greg, did you get instructions yet? Like, nobody knew what to fucking do.
Right, because exactly. all the instructions were in the website, like a message in the website that no one could get to because it was just completely overlogged. Like, it was just like, well,
not only that, Greg, we you've been putting on our chat, like, you didn't know, like, you were facing bots, like, the first day, like, you like the gradual like rollout of information, like
right.
Like what you were actually able to do was just horseshit.
Like, right, it was just very ambiguous. It's like I didn't realize when I mean this might just be like I was so excited I didn't comprehend exactly what I was reading, but it was kind of word salad-y and ambiguous. So I was like, I thought like it said matchmaking, so I'm like, oh, we're playing with people. But then it's like, apparently you're matchmaking with people to play against bots. And it's like, I was like,
And Halo doesn't even have the history of having multiplayer bots. Like it's never right. existed until now. And I'm with you. Like they, you know, the day before or whatever, the community leader and some other people like had a video of them like playing and like showing it off. But like, I didn't watch it because I wanted it to be a surprise. Like, all week, I was like, I got to play Halo. I got to play Halo. I'm so excited, and it's great. Like, I didn't want to watch it because I thought there'd be spoilers, and the video wasn't entitled, "Watch this so you fucking know you're playing against bots." And so most people didn't even know that was it. I was like, okay, okay.
You gotta, like, put yourself in that perspective where it's like, you wait for like eight hours to get in, and then you realize, oh, I'm not even playing other people, you know?
Yeah.
So I felt kind of a grouch complaining about it, but it's like, at the same time, it's like, it's just not a very good PR thing.
I mean, you had an expectation and it wasn't met.
Yeah.
So
it still blew my mind. They were like, we're playing bots. I was like, what? You know, we've game series since 2001, and like, Firefight's different, but we're talking like, these are multiplayer arena matches, like you play with your buddies, but literally it's computer players on the other side. And so we'll kind of get into, JC asked as well, like, the first day it was a map called Live Fire, which is kind of like themed after this like training ground, so there's like dummies all over the place, and you know, they were all like, the three maps that I played were all like small 4v4 centric. So it didn't feel too big. I mean, you never had to go too far to like find action. I felt like that one, it was really cool to see. There was a lot of big, it almost kind of had like a circular feel to it. So, you know, there would be the main sides like that had kind of open hills in this training facility. And then there would be pathways going this way, but you could kind of run through the middle and some other stuff, but it felt pretty small.
It reminded me of the new asymmetric map that they added to Halo 2, Collector's Edition or whatever, or the, Greg, you know what I'm talking about. It has two floors. Yeah. It had two floors on it, and it has like the lifts that brings you to the middle. It reminded me of that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's kind of, I thought it kind of reminded me of Lockout a little bit, because it's got like the, I mean, you got the big garage in the back, which is kind of like the BR tower. It's not really a tower, but then you've got the big tower. You got the big tower on one side. You've got like the open on one side. You can go underneath and go all the way through to the other end.
Oh, like, I didn't see like, that part.
In a tunnel. Yeah.
Okay.
So the second map they added, like that, it was kind of like 6 or 7 our time each night. They, you know, they would release a post that was like, this many bots were killed and thanks, and now we're going to try this out. So then they added in like ODST difficulty bots, which was kind of the mid tier. I still didn't play a match where I lost against them, but they definitely make me work for it more than the regular ones.
I fucking roll my eyes at that, because I saw something about a post where someone like killed like 5 million bots. I'm like, well, obviously they're fucking cheating. Like, and why does it even matter to begin with? Like,
it had to be a community thing.
Okay. I thought it was like one single person killed 5 million people. Like, what the fuck ever?
Like, can you imagine? Like, God dang, dude. No, they, like the posts were, you know, as a community, you did this. This is the person that killed the most bots and the best team and so on and so forth.
Okay.
The second map they added, or the second one that I played, was called Recharge. And so it was kind of it was another 4v4 map. It was an interior area that looked like it was some sort of like a hydroelectric dam or something like that. You know, there's generators and stuff. It definitely, the middle area was kind of open with a couple bridges going across. I mean, I wouldn't say it's anything crazy. It felt like it was a good map. You know, it had some routes around the outside. What did you think of that?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. It's probably my least favorite of the three they released, but it was, you know, they did a good job of making an asymmetrical map that didn't feel like one side of the map was just absolutely superior. You know, both of these maps are like that. So,
yeah. I did put in my notes for that map, the wet floor signs had realistic physics, so that was pretty cool.
Okay, so how about as far as like customization goes? Because ever since what, Halo ODST or was it
Reach was the first
Reach?
One really
yeah,
had it.
So they add like the customization where you can add like different things to your armor. Did they have that in this?
Actually, I would walk that back. 3 had it obviously in some of the armor sets, but it wasn't like.
Yeah, you got it from like the skulls and stuff, right?
You'd have loadouts. You'd have loadouts I can reach. Yeah.
Yeah. So did they have that or?
It seemed like there was a place for it. So like when you went to the armory, it would show your dude, and you could literally go slot by slot. So it was like my helmet, my visor, my shoulder pads, my left shoulder pad, my right shoulder pad, my knees, my holster, whatever. So you could change those parts out. You could change the color scheme, or what are they? There's a funny word they call that. They're like armor shaders, but it's some, I don't remember what the name of it is.
Okay.
But on the far left, the first option, I don't remember exactly what it said, but it gave me the impression that yes, you could have, you know, maybe not weapon loadouts because it's fair start, but you could have different armor customizations set up so you could switch them on the fly. That was the impression I got of it. That option wasn't available, but the box was certainly there.
Okay, so I know this is going to be a pretty loaded question here, but what did you see?
Loaded question is a fusion rifle in Destiny. Continue.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about, honestly. But new and old weapons, as far as previous iterations of Halo and what they've added new with Halo Infinite, have you seen anything new or old? Mm-hmm. And how do they compare with previous segments of Halo?
So, unless, I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that. I mean, I did write down notes of like, of everything that I saw. I know that there was probably some more stuff in there based on the armory that I didn't actually see, like the Hydra. I never encountered that when I was playing. So there was a gun called the Heat Wave that was interesting. It looks like it's, I don't know if it's Covenant or Brute design, but it's like, it's this weird power weapon that spawns in the middle and it shoots, you know, basically like a vertical line or a horizontal line, and you could tap the ADS button to like switch it.
Oh, is it like a shotgun? Like if you were to
kind of, it's, yeah, okay. It's kind of like this, it's kind of like the space cutter. Cutter in Dead Space.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Okay.
And it spreads out as it goes. It spreads out a little bit, so you can hit multiple targets with it.
Yep. Cool.
It's so for me, it was like maybe. I put two hits with the vertical shot would disintegrate them. If you lined it up in the middle of their body and the whole thing hit them. But obviously like you could turn it sideways and say like, you know, if you think of the campaign, like a bunch of grunts or something's coming at you, it would do damage to a bunch of them, but maybe not as much damage as all of it focused on one target. So it's kind of a cool situational thing. The AR is like I always call it the Reach model. I guess it'd be like the MA5A or whatever, where mm-hmm. it's kind of angular on top instead of being rounded.
It felt like the AR had pretty good range compared to most other Halos.
How about spread? Does spread matter too much, or was it pretty accurate?
There's a little bit of spread. There's a mild bloom. Yeah. There's a mild bloom to it too, but if you burst it, it feels like you could get some good range on it.
And I think that I saw that it had a BR and a DMR? Or
yes and no. So the BR, yes, is the BR that you remember. I put in my notes that sounds really big and meaty. And like on my headphones, like that gun sounded really big and I liked it. It was like for a scrub like me, like if I landed, it was like a 4 or 5 burst kill, like most obviously maybe sooner if you actually hit your headshots. It's not the DMR, but it's called the VK-78 Commando, and it's the DMR.
It's like a fully automatic DMR.
Well, and you could shoot it as fast as you could pull the trigger. Like there was a lot of times where I'd hit fire and I'm like, and it felt really good.
Could you hold down the trigger and it just be auto, or is it actually shot per trigger?
I was thinking it was only semi-auto, but I guess I never tried it.
I think it's automatic, but if you pulse it, it's so much better if you
use clearly I just want to know if it had that option
but it's so strong, like okay. It's so accurate. It's like basically like it felt like a fully automatic DMR to me. Like there's a big bloom if you hold the trigger, but man, it's got so much range and you can shoot it so fast, it's super broken.
Which do you think would be like between the BMR and the new DMR, which do you think would be the more like a dominant like go-to weapon outside of the, you know, like a sniper rifle or whatever?
I felt better with the BR, but I think it's just because of personal preference, because I've just, you know, I've been playing with battle rifle starts for so long, but that I could see someone getting so good at timing exactly how fast they can pulse that trigger with that thing, that commando, that they could be like super broken.
Yeah, I actually liked the Commando better personally, but I also suck with the BR, so I don't know. I mean, in theory, if they're doing their job, both of them should be good at one thing and bad at another. It just kind of depends.
And the Commando's not technically a power weapon either. Like, that's another interesting thing I kind of want to explain, is that unlike normal other Halo games, like where like weapons have set spawns, it seems like they designate each weapon to a certain class, where it's like a power weapon and like a secondary weapon. So like the power weapons seem to be randomly, they're all like random. Like every match, what spawn on those designated segments was random. Like it could be something. One time it could be a battle rifle, other time it could be a Commando. You know, like it changes every game. But like they have a designated power weapon spawn and a designated secondary spawns. So that's kind of interesting. Like to know that you could go into a game and not know exactly what power weapon you're gonna get on that map is interesting.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, instead of like, you know, you're getting on Halo 2 and like, you know, you're in lockdown, you drop down, you're gonna get the sword. Instead of a sword, you're getting
a shotgun or like,
yeah, just whatever. Yes.
Yeah, so there's like the example that I always give is that first map that's the training ground. Like, so we always, and I'm sure that you did too. Well, maybe not when you played against players. Against bots, I always started in the garage, and so I would always go to the left, and that there's a box there. So the weapons spawn in boxes on the wall that like it looks like a case, and it would open up. So for me, that was always either the Commando or the BR. Whichever one it was that same gun for that whole match. So like if I knew the BR was going to spawn there, I knew I could always go back to that spot and it was there. But there were other times where it was, like I said, it was like the DMR or whatever it was called. Same for like the power weapon. Like the power weapon spawn is always in the middle, but this match it might have been the sniper, or then there was a thing called the skewer, which is like a presumably a brute gun that like I call it the fucking Moby Dick gun, but I mean it basically like shoots a giant fucking bayonet out of it one at a time, and if you hit somebody and no-scoped it, it felt sick. It felt so good to do, but if you miss, then you got a 40-second fucking reload.
Yeah,
to do it.
Most impractical power weapon ever.
It reminded me of like the rebar gun, whatever you can like craft from Dying Light.
Yeah. The one, I guess the one final point that I have, I mean, I really liked of it. So, or two final points. The other map was called something whose name I didn't get because I only played it one time, but it takes place in Zanzibar, like from the second mission of Halo 2. So it was really cool to see. It's not that it's the first map we've ever had there, I guess, technically, but like it really felt like it, and it had a cool style to it. And then those boxes that we were talking about for where the weapons spawn, you can see, and it'll even tell you in tooltips, if you go over and it's red, that means that somebody has it and there's still ammo for it. So once the ammo runs out for that spawned weapon, like the doors will close and then a timer will go off and then they'll open back up and you can pick it back up again. So it's kind of like it even said in the tooltip, like, hey, you know, if it's red, that means the ammo hasn't run out yet. Go out there and find who has it. And I'm thinking, like, am I supposed to kill them if they're on my team? Like, I don't know.
So one more quick question I have on this before we jump over to the next topic. Were there any other game types besides just like Team Slayer?
No,
it was just that. Okay.
There will be additional technical previews, they have said, or betas or whatever it's going to be. But in this one, no.
Okay. Yeah.
And I do want to say, like, I don't know what they're going to do, but the pistol start, it's like they made the pistol interesting. It's not as broken as it was in Halo 5, but it's definitely like, if you use it correctly, it can be really deadly, especially from close range. It's like more like a Halo 2 pistol, but with a better range. Like it's slightly better range.
And because you can zoom. Like it doesn't have a full on scope like the old Halo 1 pistol, but it definitely had, if you ADS, you know, it moves your reticle or like your field of view in, so you can get better range shots than you could with that old sidearm.
Tight. Okay. So
I'm excited to play more.
I want to play some. I'm kind of envious of you guys. I had the fucking beta or the tech preview, but I never even got to play it because I was busy over the weekend. But hopefully next time around, I will be able to play. But all four of us, we have tried out Outer Worlds, and we are at the closing part of post-game review. So I thought this was a good opportunity for us to jump in and give us a deep dive on our insight of the game and our personal experiences. So, as I said, like after like the first week of us like jumping into the game, I've already beat the game. So I am curious what you guys thought about the story. Let's just start with the story first. What you guys thought of the story and collectively what you've done so far.
And are we going to try to make this a spoiler-free cast, or what are we going to do?
No.
Okay, because no. I haven't beaten the game yet. I mean, I'm okay with being spoiled.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Tim hasn't beaten either. We were just talking. Yeah, we talked about it earlier. So he hasn't beaten it either. Okay. So we are fine with not doing spoilers.
I also like legit like I don't know. I didn't pay a ton attention to the story. Like I was kind of just
same.
Like, I was just, like playing. I'm like, yeah, you're talking to me. That's cool. I'm gonna go find this other side character, and then I want to do this, and I want to do this. Like I don't really care.
See, that's unfortunate, because the dialogue in this game is, like, some of the best Obsidian dialogue I've ever heard. It's so good.
I paid attention to the dialogue, but, like...
How do you not pay attention to the story if you pay attention to the dialogue? Like, that is the story.
I wasn't really, like, connecting, like, the overall, like, the overarching, like, you know, like, what they were going for to, like,
individual... This dialogue in the main story missions.
Just, like, individual conversations, right?
Right.
And there's so many side... Like,
yeah, that part I skipped over all of that. I paid full attention on the overall story, but the side quests, I'm like, fuck this. Besides the diet toothpaste thing, I was all about that.
Yeah, diet toothpaste is hilarious. I think, maybe this is because I haven't gotten past maybe the halfway point in the game, but it feels like the side quests are so much more manageable in this game compared to the other Obsidian titles, like compared to Fallout or Elder Scrolls. Like, it just feels like everything is more streamlined. It's more manageable. It's not like you're not overwhelmed with being able to pick up literally everything on the map, or have everybody can talk to you and give you some quest that takes you halfway across the world to do or whatever, you know. It felt very streamlined.
Absolutely. That is exactly what I like about this and what I wanted out of any of these kind of games. I know that there are a lot of people that are really hardcore into the open world RPG style and pick up every like fucking screw from toy cars and shit. But I love that it streamlined the ammo you pick up. So you don't have to pick up the fucking 556 or 763 ammo. It's all just light, heavy, and like energy ammo. I like the simplicity of it. There's a thing about it that simplicity has a higher form of sophistication, and this proves it. So I agree 100%.
Yeah. Lots of quality lives.
That I would make about why those side quests were so simple and didn't take you all the way across the world is because the worlds were 5 foot wide by 5 foot wide, and so there was nowhere to take you.
Right, the worlds were very small comparatively.
But they served the purpose, though. I don't feel like they needed to be like these huge, outlandish worlds. Like it's like I don't feel like it needed to be like a world like Skyrim or anything. Like, I feel like
I can agree with that. Yeah. So
it served its purpose.
Yeah. Each planet definitely serves its purpose. It has its own little excerpts of its storyline. Well, okay. I would say that basically is an island, but Monarch, the planet, definitely outstays its welcome because there's so many side quests on that planet. I got to the point where I was just completely skipping everything just so I can get through the story. Because I felt like every single person I talked to, there was some kind of side quest I had to get through. And then go back out to the open world and do something. And then come right back and do it again. But otherwise, every single planet, like, it definitely has its own little, you know, excerpt. And then an exodus that, like, wraps up the whole planet in its own little nicely neat package. And then it sends you off to the next one.
Right. Nothing, right, and, like a waste of time.
And so that package, the package that it wraps it up nicely and neatly into is, hey, I landed here. This person I met, they're going to tell me about their problems, and it's going to be real problematic, and then they're going to tell me to go out and fetch some shit to fix their problems with this other person, and then I'm going to go down the road 5 steps to the next encampment, and then they're going to be like, oh, that man? Yeah, fuck him, dude. You should work for me instead, and I'll do the other thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. So instead of killing fucking giraffes, I'm going to go kill something else instead. And then, like, what always ended up happening is that you always, basically, you always have to pick one of the two sides, and then you're going to fuck one faction up and then appease the other one. Then you get to go to the next planet.
So, ever, like, every choice-based RPG.
Yeah. Yep, I was about to say the same thing.
Have you ever played an RPG before?
Yes, obviously, but there's no... And maybe I'm just spoiled after coming off of, like, Mass Effect, where there might be ways that you can talk your ways out of other stuff, or you can ignore it entirely. But for me, it was, like, it seemed like every one of them... Because JC and I, we had talked about this on another episode about where, you know, like, your quest lines get wrapped up and everything kind of gets wrapped up. And that's because, like, you always had to make one of two choices, but it was always basically just in 5 minutes you could figure out, like, I'm either going to help you or I'm going to help you. And then you're going to give me the key that I need to go to the next planet. And that's it.
Well, that's just something.
I'm just an old bitter man. Like, it's fine.
It's,
I like things simple.
It's fine at all. And I think that there is a time and place, and absolutely there should be some games that have more deeper mechanics when it comes to an RPG. I think Obsidian has a great formula for a casual audience like myself when it comes to these kind of story written kind of games. Like, the point of Outer Worlds is about telling a satirical bureaucratic led colony out in space. Like, it's all about the humor, and, you know, it's not about, like, doing all these big side quests, fetch quests kind of things. Like, it does make fun of that, definitely.
Yeah, it's self-critical for sure.
Yeah.
I'd argue that it's more, like, self-critical towards capitalism than bureaucracy, but that's just my input.
Well, it's got a little bit of both in there. It's got a little bit of both.
Yeah, there's a ton, yeah, yeah.
Because the whole story is, like, you're anti-government, you know, because, like, the whole time, you have to choose, obviously, but it's, like, the guy who saves you, basically, is, like, some... He's like, all right, the government's fucking...
Yeah, and it's... It's interesting once you get to the end. I'm not going to spoil it, but it has a really, really interesting twist on the morale, the moral compass of where the company or the board stance is, and if you should follow along with them or not. Matt, you beat the game, right? Did you get to that point where what I'm talking about? That critical decision?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it does have a little interesting perspective to take on, and I kind of want to go back and talk about the movie that just recently came out, Old. It makes me think about that. I won't ruin it, but it definitely has a good take on a morale level.
An M. Night Shyamalan like twist.
God. Kind of.
Well, I wouldn't say it's quite that. I mean, let's just say that...
It's hard to say it without spoiling.
They let you make some choices at the end of the game that actually kind of surprised me, is what I would say. It surprised me. Like, it wasn't a clear cut, like, oh, we're gonna go destroy the bad guys. You know, right. There was a little bit more nuance to it than that.
It wasn't like Fallout 3.
At the very end of the game.
Yeah, it wasn't like Fallout 3 or New Vegas. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like a clear-cut solution.
Yeah, Cyberpunk 2077 was a lot like that too. They had so many choices to make at the end of how you want to finish the game.
Yeah,
but I like that personally. Okay. But.
Well, what do you guys think about the gameplay? I did cover on like the simplicity on like the ammo and pickups and shit, but like as far as as a common open world shooter, how did you guys feel about it?
I felt like they made some, like you said, some good quality of life changes, like that. Being able to, like, disassemble stuff from your inventory was really nice. So you wouldn't have to just like carry it back to a workshop or whatever, or like have to sell it. That was kind of nice. Also, I thought the gunplay when I first came out, I was like, I don't know if I like this. It was kind of like the gunplay from like Fallout, you know? And, I put it down for a long time, but then I remember, I don't know if it was you or maybe it was Tim, was like, you got to go back and revisit this. So I checked it out again. And once I came back to it, it like completely revamped it. Felt really good. Like it just felt like, you know, it was more reactive rather than clunky like Fallout.
That is exactly how I felt. I felt exactly the same way as you. I could not play this game when it first came out. And then because of post-game review, I went back and played it, and I am so happy I went back and play. And I got to experience it.
If we're talking about performance, right? So I played on Series X, and there was a patch that came out in the last couple months to optimize it for Series X, for PS5, Series S, stuff like that. So it ran at 4K 60. It felt good. Like it felt nice and fluid. I can't, you know, we made some jokes about how it's out on Switch. Like I can only imagine how awful that would feel, even with the Pro controller. I mean, I love that controller, but 30 frames, I can't go back to that. The load times were great. And I put, which is good because there's a surprising amount of different zones. And it's like, you're always like, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going to walk down the street 10 feet. And like, there's a town and I can clearly see that the town has three whole buildings in it. But I have to like hold X to zone into the town. And luckily it would load in 3 seconds. So it's fine. Or like, if I'm going to go back into the ship, it's fine. If I'm going to go to another planet, the ship would almost instantaneously go to the next planet and I could get off of my ship and be there. But so like loading screens, while there were some, they were not very long. It just was like, again, I'm like, for such a, what I call an empty world, like there's a surprising amount of loading places, but the shooting felt great. I think, I thought there were some parts, and I put it, the caves on Monarch, had some really cool particle effects that I enjoyed. And I thought
so I want to add something. I've been kind of laughing when even saying this stuff. It's really nice to hear for anyone that's been listening to the podcast, Matt is basically going to be known as the one that he plays the console games and I play the PC games. It's really nice to hear a console player finally giving some kind of entitlement and talking about refresh rates and load times and stuff, because you've been missing out for so many years now. I'm so happy to hear the console players talking about this, because this means so much. It means so much. I'm so happy that it's finally coming to this point now. I'll let you continue, but it makes me so happy. It's so nice that we can finally can communicate with this level.
And I would say, like, from launch PS4, I think Killzone Shadowfall ran at 60 frames, and I was like, this is great. Like, why can't all the other games do this? And we're like, because it's 2014. I'm like, fuck, dude. Okay, cool. But yes, I mean, like, 30 frames sucks. I can't go back to it. So
aim into that, brother.
Luckily, you know, like, I will, not to be too much of a snob, obviously, like, if you have an Xbox One and a PS4, you can still play this game. It's still viable. That's your own choice. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, so I ran into that problem. I was playing it on an original Xbox One, and it was like watching, like, you can see the the background just kind of like, I don't know, like fold in, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I'm looking, and I grab a sniper, and I'm like, go full, like, you know, whatever, like 10 times or whatever, and I could see it, and then I would back out, and I was like, I can't see anything. It's just like everything's just like kind of,
yeah,
bugging in. That distance rendering for the console. Yeah,
it wasn't great. I mean, I still had a blast, don't get me wrong. Like, this is one of the most fun games I've had since maybe Fallout 3. It was kind of similar type of game, but like frames were great.
Yeah,
yeah,
so, it happened a lot.
It is nice though, really. Like, I know PC player, and I'm definitely like one of those PC Master Race guys, but I'm really happy to see that console players are finally able to see this. Yeah. Like seeing it firsthand, like I've experienced it for so long, but console players finally being able to see it, and it's gonna be a first. You know, everyone's gonna get it finally. Everyone's gonna get that 60 frames FPS.
Yeah, especially in shooters. Like, it's especially huge in shooters.
Anyway, I didn't mean to sidetrack. I'll let you guys continue on.
Well, so I guess, and we're excited, by the way, because we have an email to read this week. Not only do we have guests, we have great guests on the show, but one of my buddies who is finally written in like an email. He had played this before, so he wanted to share some of his thoughts on it, which is great. But before we do that, like, I guess, so my take, as it has sounded, and as I said a couple episodes ago, I'm probably more negative on this game, it sounds like, than the rest of the panel, because the problem with it is so much a Fallout game. Like, technically it's not, right? Like, I understand it is, but every time we go to have this discussion, every sentence that we start says, well, compared to in Fallout, and why it's because Obsidian made one of the most beloved Fallout games out there.
Oh,
and there is,
before you continue, I have one thing I'm supposed to add. Matt, you cunt. I was supposed to say that for Brian. sorry.
I am going to read his email, but it definitely says probably at least once. So my thing with it is like, it is so clear where the inspiration for this game came from, right? Like, it has so many of the systems over, like, yes, it's not quite identical to the special system, but a lot of that, it's very similar in the way that it works. The way that you handle having conversations with people looks identical. Like, the camera is like right on their face and you can say things, but it's like, oh, if I have persuade, like, the menu to me when you go to talk to people looks identical. The slow down time shooting thing. Like, there is just an unbelievable amount of what?
The vat? You talking about the
yes game? Yes, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember what it's called in this,
it's
one, but
like face time shift or
yeah okay,
it's not a throw,
but it's the same thing.
Don't talk about Fallout unless you know what the VAT system is. Come on.
No, I'm talking about in this game. I know what the VAT system is in Fallout. I just, this one, I couldn't remember what it was called. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I feel like they have, it's not as broken as the VAT system. I guess the shitty thing about the VAT system is, like, your accuracy with the VATs was completely determined by what your skills, like, were. Your,
it was
like
all your dice rolls.
Like, right, exactly. It's all dice rolls.
Yeah. But it's RNG.
Doesn't last as long. You know, it's, I don't know. It is pretty broken in the first couple of shots, but you can't just sit there and just be like, I'm going to headshot 8 guys because I've got, you know, my stats, my accuracy stats all the way up. But they've definitely made up for it by the fact that the gunplay, like actual physical FPS gunplay, felt way better.
It felt good.
So,
it felt good.
Yeah. But I don't know. You can't, like, I mean, it's like you got a model that works really well and people love. It's like, you know, right, you're gonna keep reusing it. I perfectly am. I'm okay with it personally. Like, I love Fallout, like Obsidian's Fallout. So
yes, you know. And I do too. And even New Vegas, like, I never beat it. That one I would say I liked way less than 3. But right, I did enjoy what I played of it. And my problem with it is like, this feels like it's supposed to be that. And there's a lot of things where they're very clearly saying, we're the Fallout guys and we're making a Fallout game, but nobody asked us to make New Vegas 2. So we're just going to kind of do it on our own,
right,
but it's going to be in space. And that's great. And that, like, the idea of that is fantastic. I was like, oh, it's like Fallout, but I can get on my ship whenever the fuck I want. And I can go, But in practice, instead of having this giant landscape where you can just go and wander and find shit that you're not supposed to and places where you're not supposed to be yet and all, it's like there's a road from the landing pad that goes around and there's going to be 3 settlements along it. Outside of those settlements, the only thing that you're going to run into is either clumps of enemy soldiers or clumps of fucking space dogs that want to attack you. And it's like in Fallout, you could wander over a hill and there's a lady that needs help. Or maybe there's like some sort of like a weird robot slave camp. Like, there's all these crazy things happening in the world of Fallout that makes it exciting. And this has none of that. It is everything that's in the wild outside of town is not friendly to you. and it just feels like we almost got to Fallout but didn't.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a matter of perspective, because I think that this is a I think this game is like a neutral zone between a Fallout game and like Mass Effect, because it does the same thing where Mass Effect has its own little hubs where you go on different planets and you're able to go and do the whole, you know, the whole mission story between like Eilis, and you go into the Citadel and do your whole thing. Same thing with Groundbreaker, and you go on to, you know, Monarch or Byzantium. But maybe it was something where, I don't remember when this game came out. Was it like 2018 or whatever? It could be that they had a lack of resources at that point, and that might be why it feels very barren for each map. Because I mean, if you look back on it, like each map, even like when you went on like Terra 1 or 2, the maps like 4x4 square, like it feels like you can travel between the main city and like to the other side in like a matter of 5 minutes. You could do that, so it might just be a matter of resources. So hopefully in the next game they'll be able to expand on that and make it a bigger game, because I know what you're saying, like making it a bigger game, you're going to be able to jump in on those random encounters. Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
Speaking of the next game, have you guys seen the amazing fucking trailer for the second version of it? Because it is probably the greatest, most sarcastic,
self-aware
trailer that's ever been dropped by a game.
Ever, yes.
Ever.
100%. That was the best 2021 trailer of all time.
I was crying laughing. Like, it was so fucking funny.
It was dope. Yeah, I agree.
I guess my thing with it is like, it. So, the second one, I mean, I would hope, right? Because now they have Microsoft money. You know what I mean? Like, and so, for... Yes, maybe it was a resource issue and stuff like that, but I would also say, like, this is Obsidian we're talking about. Yeah. I mean, they made a KOTOR sequel years and years ago. They made, again, one of the best Fallout games, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like they don't know what they're doing, and usually they're really beloved. So, like, for me, like, this game would have been great 10 years ago. Like, if we're talking playing this in the 360 era, I'd be like, yeah, it's great, cool, there's a spaceship and you go to planets. But like, having played all this that other stuff, like even Skyrim, you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
it doesn't, for me, it's just like, it's not, I don't know.
I think it was a conscious decision. I don't think they wanted to do like that open sandbox feel where you can wander around and find random happenstance and feel like you're in a living world. I think it was more story driven, dialogue driven, choice driven. Like, you know what I mean? I think that was a conscious decision on their part, because otherwise, I mean, they're perfectly capable of making those games.
Yeah. So,
I feel like in a world without the 3D Fallout games, like, this is a different conversation too. Like, we're not badgering these people because of a game that they made before. But to me, it's like, you can't, you know, show all those signs that it's basically, it feels like that, but then not be that, you know. That's my opinion.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I think it also that we complain about the fact that it's very, the maps are very linear and they're very predictable, but like at the same time, I didn't feel like anything was recycled like environment-wise in that game. Like, it felt like everything was unique in a way to me.
True.
Maybe I haven't gotten far enough in it, but like in Fallout and you know, Skyrim, like you find a patterns over and over and over again. There's tons of shit on the map, but it's just like you start figuring out these patterns where it's the same basic layout over and over and over again. I didn't feel that way with this game, which was nice.
I also think that they would run into the same problem, and this is why I bring up the whole thing with resources. That like, when I think about what Starfield is going to be like, since it's going to be a sci-fi game where it's supposed to be an open, you know, an open galaxy thing where you travel between multiple planets, it's hard for you to bring out resources and have such an expansive you know, just in a very expansive map, be able to hold each hub for each planet, and be able to have a open world map and have side quests for each one, and still be able to sustain a whole main story quests and wrap up the entire game. It might be more possible now within, you know, I don't know what engine that they're running on now, but it might have been a resource negligence at that time, because being able to have five maps and have all that stuff, it might equate to the same thing as what New Vegas was at the time. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah. Well, okay. Before we go on to the what we're going to be end up playing, I would guess over the next month or so, because this one's going to be pretty long. I do want to read our first reader mail that I've been Tim's celebrating. Love it. Love your mustache. I love it. So this is one of my buddies, but. Just like Brian, this person over here, I almost said his name, you can send us email at postgamelobbypodcast@gmail.com and we'll read it. I don't even care if you talk about poop. Like, it doesn't have to be related to video games. You can just tell us about, like, you know, like, what was it like the time you got jock itch and didn't know what to do about it? Send us an email. I don't really care. Dear Postgame Lobby, third time listener, first time emailer. I just want to start off with Matt Miller is a cunt for not understanding the simple fact that the reason The Outer Worlds is so much like Fallout is because it's made by two of the original developers of Fallout, also made New Vegas, Fallout New Vegas. So, capital letters, of course, this game is a lot like Fallout. That being said, I have to agree with Matt that the worlds do feel a little too sparse. In a way, it makes sense because these are supposed to be newly terraformed and populated planets. The TV show Firefly is probably the biggest inspiration for its world building. This game shares a ton of similarities to the show, from having a rundown ship, religious figures on board, a medic, a gun nut, and your character is the charismatic leader. It even copies the vibe of a Western in space, from the guns to the clothes, and even the music sounds like it came straight out of the show. Objectively, for me, the best part of The Outer Worlds is the humor, which I feel that the last two Fallout games have lost, Fallout 4 and Fallout 76. It has a perfect mixture of silly and morbid humor that I enjoy. You can also read all the different dialogue options to get the most enjoyable experience of the writing in the game. I also love that your ammo isn't splintered into 20 different types. It's only 3: regular, heavy, and energy. There you go, JC. One for you. Maybe he's going to be your best friend. Shit. Normally, I hate having companions follow me along in a game, but these felt worthwhile, and they would actually have interesting conversations and add their opinions to choices you're about to make. They are pretty good in a fight, too. That's debatable. The worst part of the game for me is the weapons. Yeah, some of the science weapons you find have interesting quirks that make them fun for 5 minutes, but that's pretty much it. None of the guns have the right feel. They all just seem off. You'll find one that is effective, but it doesn't feel fun to use. The character upgrade perks were just kind of bland, and some stuff truly felt like a copy and paste from Fallout's special system. The explanation of why you can slow down time, the VAT system, doesn't feel interesting, but just lazy story writing you've seen over and over from science fiction novels and shows. All in all, this game was fun and showed a lot of promise for what they could do with a sequel. For me, the saddest part is I won't be able to play the sequel on my PS5 since Microsoft bought Obsidian. They did buy Oblivion too. They did buy it. Sincerely, an overanalyzing gamer, Brian D. P.S. The Drifter wasn't right. He's just a douchebag who is going to get cut if he calls me snitch one more fucking time. Destiny reference. P.P.S. Can you please add Tribes of Midgard to your list of games to play? I just want to force Matt to play it with me.
Don't worry, Brian. I already added it.
The biggest thing I got from that was that Matt Miller's a cunt.
That's the second time. I'll even add that the third time. You fucking cunt.
I, you know, I can't even, like, I can't even disagree. Right?
But he adds a lot of good points. He adds a lot of good points to the game. It's definitely a very divisive.
Or did he just add the points that you had. Okay.
The game definitely isn't for everybody. I mean, we've had this conversation in our own little Facebook group, and I know that there are a lot of people out there that do like the hardcore setting for open world RPG, and those people can always go back and play Fallout and Skyrim and those if they want to. I think this is something that's more geared towards someone that likes the casual, satirical feel for a video game. I think that's what they're going for, and they hit their mark.
Yeah, I totally agreed. I found myself agreeing with everything he just said. Maybe except for the last part where he said the cop out way of explaining the time freeze thing, because they are kind of self aware about it, because the way he describes it, it's like, I don't know, it could happen, like when you get unfrozen from hibernation. Like, it's all just like it still seemed very sarcastic and self aware to me.
It's the crazy scientist's fault. Doesn't matter. Just use it.
I don't know. Seems helpful, so keep using it.
I do have one final thing I want to bring up to take part in. It's basically the ending of the game. And I brought this up in a previous episode. I don't know if it was last episode or not. But I think that as far as a game that prides itself on how much of impact you make in the universe, I think that this game does a better job than most games, because it wraps up everything in a nice little present and talks about all the impacts that you've made on each character that you have went in with. And like Monarch, for example, when you go and you side with one side, it talks about what they go and do after the game has ended, like where they go 70 years from now, and where your companions ended up going after you have you've helped out with their side quests and stuff. It fully wraps it up in a whole dialogue of like 10 to 15 minutes. I don't know if you guys have seen
like
that part
narrated.
Yet.
They literally, like, after the credits are rolling, they'll be like, and Tim decided that he didn't want to be in his dumb garage anymore, and he found Jesus. And
yeah, it's like, great. Yeah. It's great. And, I mean, it is definitely sarcastic, but it has a bit of a serious tone to it as well, because it's kind of a bittersweet ending. Mm-hmm. But it's nice, because I don't even think Mass Effect does that.
It feels like your choices matter. Like,
yeah,
like you do matters, yeah, because you know what the outcomes are.
Yeah, and I want to see that more in future games. So, do you guys have anything else you want to add?
More game in future games. Continue.
True, big fucking true, Matt. Let's drink to that. You guys have anything else you want to add to Outer Worlds before we close it out and finally announce our August 2021 game for a post-game review? Good. No. Let's just fucking get out of it. No more. No more Outer Worlds.
I think we've decided then that the post-game review, we'll give it a 4.5 out of 10.
Four and a half. I give it a 7. I give it a good 7.
4.5 out of 10?
Damn.
That's being generous because of the gunplay. Gunplay.
Yeah. We didn't even touch on the DLC, so we can't give it a full rating, but I think that the main game was a good solid 7 out of 10.
For $20, I don't feel too bad about it. I mean, if I would have bought this at launch and had to play it at 30 frames, it'd have been a 2.5 out of 10 for sure.
I'd give it an 8 because out of 10, because I had a lot of fun playing it, and that's all I care about.
All right. Well, so the votes were in, and I can't believe it, honestly. Like, it was a landslide victory, but Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen won for this month. And I honestly thought it was going to be Star Wars Squadron, but yeah, Dragon's Dogma. I've actually played through the original game. I'm really excited just to play through the DLC, and I have a lot to talk about that game. I know we're going to talk about it every week, but I have a lot to talk about that game. So, Greg, Tim, I know you're not on the podcasts, every week, but is this something that is
forever
of interest?
Again.
Well, the amount you've like shill for it. I feel like I have to play it. Yeah. I almost feel like you rigged this poll, the straw poll, so just so you could have to play it with Matt.
I did not.
Talked about it so much. It's just like, you know, it's like, you know, a game was like super ahead of its time and like
it is. Really it. I am. I'm really surprised. I thought that Squadron was gonna win. Jaw dropped.
I voted for Squadron.
I voted for Dragon's Dogma, but I'm surprised that it won. Yeah, honestly.
Like six times he voted.
Also, nobody wanted to play Far Cry.
I made sure that you could not vote more than once. It is tracked by IP. You cannot vote more than once. But no, Tim, are you?
Whoa! What? Control Z that? What?
Far Cry is just the same. It's the same mission over again.
You just got done talking about the Outer Worlds, and you're going to complain about something being the same?
Oh boy.
There's no difference between, like, Far Cry and, like, Outer Worlds or, like,
literally any Ubisoft game?
Any Ubisoft game, yeah.
That's fair. That is fair. It's very much a Ubisoft game.
You literally just do the same thing over and over again.
Besides The Division, I would say that there's something to say about The Division.
We were literally just talking about that. Like, Just Cause is like a better version of that, where you do the same thing over and again, except you have like fun fucking toys that you can play with.
Yeah. I know we are running a little bit out of time, but I do want to know your opinion on, or if you're going to jump into Dragon's Dogma with Tim.
No.
No. Man, Well, for those for those that are looking at jumping into the game, I hope that you guys do enjoy your experience. I did play through the main story. I have not played through all of the side quests. It is a great game. And Greg, like I said, it is ahead of its time. I know that the graphics are not the greatest because that game was back in like 2013, but I do hope you enjoy it.
I had a pretty good feeling that it was going to win, so I ordered it. I came down to two choices. I'm going to play this one on Switch.
I am too.
It maybe PC is different, but like even on PS4 and Xbox One, like it still runs at 30 frames. And I was like, okay, this would be fun because I can play a little bit before I go to bed, but I can also like dock it and play with my controller. The other choice that I had that I didn't go with is, I'm pretty sure I have this game for PS3, and I bought a PS3, like one of the big fat ones, a couple months ago, and like put a solid state drive in it because my old one, the disc drive, didn't work. And I was like, what if I just fucking played it on PS3? And I was like, nah, let's not do that.
Make some use of it. Beautiful. Solid
state drive. Next month when Far Cry 3 wins, I'm gonna be playing it on that. Suck a dick.
Jesus Christ, I don't even want to fucking touch that. I hope I just delete that off of the list. Now, anyway, we got Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen. If you guys are looking to playing with us, you know, give us your feedback. You know, talk about it on Facebook, Twitter. I'm actually active on both of those. So is Matt. But as far as everything else is involved, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter. I will be starting to stream on Twitch. Matt might actually be starting to stream on Facebook. Maybe I don't know where you're leaning on that.
I would say Facebook over YouTube. I have most of my setup. It's just like I need to motivate myself to get the time for it. That's where I'm at right now. I'm not gonna lie. I'm lazy if y'all know me.
Okay. Aside from that, if you just want to listen to the podcast in audio form, you can go on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Fucking go wherever you go to listen to podcasts. You can listen to us there. We will have a link in our Discord. If you want to go and join our Discord, I will have a link on there as well, or Facebook. God, fucking everywhere. Just join us. But anyway, you can join us anywhere there, and hopefully we'll see you guys next week. We'll have a whole bunch more news. I mean, we had a whole catalog of news to share. We just couldn't even get it to it this week because we had so much. But yeah, we will see you guys next week. You guys have anything else you want to say before we close out?
Outer Worlds sucks dick.
Jesus Christ.
I love everybody but Matt Miller.
That's what my ex-wife said.
Man, all right.
Close the show.
Okay. Well, with that said, thank you guys for joining us this week, and see you guys next week.